Happy Blessed Sunday. Come on in, take a seat. Get comfortable. This morning, we can get everyone in. I'd like to start with a passage that I think we're all pretty familiar with. This is from Luke 4. And it says, Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Look at what he said. He came to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. And I don't know about each and every one of you in it, but I know that many of us are dealing with those issues. Also want to take a quick look at a psalm, Psalm 69. In Psalm 69, David was going through one of his crises. He's calling the Lord down on those who oppose him. And he says, beginning in verse 29, I'm in pain and distress. May your salvation, O God, protect me. Right? Who's our salvation? And he goes on in verse 30, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. Right? This is even though he's in trouble. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with his horn and hoofs. Talking about a sacrifice. The poor will see and be glad. You will seek God. May your hearts live. The Lord hears the needy and that does not despise his captive people. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them. For God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. That's the God that we worship, the God who came to proclaim freedom for the captives. So would you stand and join me in prayer this morning? Father, you have sent us our deliverance, the Lord Jesus, not only to deliver us from sin, but deliver the captives, freedom for those who are captive and bound, Lord. Lord, let us praise you this morning, Lord. Let us feel your presence here among us. Let us revel, be joyful in your presence, Lord. Let our voices raise and bring praise to you, Father, for you are glorious, awesome, and worthy of all of our praise. We thank you for our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Good morning, everybody. What a friend we have in Jesus, isn't that right?
Yes.
Well, the best way to be a friend, or best way to have a friend, is to be a friend. So, notify your face. The Lord has given us a wonderful day. We can all smile, and we can celebrate that we are here together today to worship the Lord. Isn't that right?
Yes.
All righty, let's kick it off.
What a friend.
Asking for your strength, asking for your guidance, thanking you for your salvation that you've given us, Lord God. Thank you for purifying our hearts and our minds. Thank you, Father God. Lord Jesus, today we do give you our heart. In Jesus' name.
My desire to love.
Is that really your desire? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is it really your desire?
Well, Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore.
Thank you.
Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the privilege to come before you together as your children, Lord, to praise you, to worship you, to learn more about you.
Thank you,
Father, we ask that you still our hearts and our minds and give us the focus on you today, Lord, and that what is taught today from your word, that it will come into our hearts and be real in our hearts, that real conviction will come into our hearts, that we, when we walk out those doors, we will not forget, but live out your word, Lord, mm-hmm. unto the world, that they might see you and find salvation, true salvation in you, Lord, and join us as your children to live forever with you. Father, we lift up Pastor Darren to you, and we ask that you help him and his heart and his thoughts, that he can keep his focus on you, on your word, that all distractions and whatever problems might be, may have been facing his family or himself through the week, Lord, that all these things can just be thrown out and just muted out, that only you will come out through his voice, that we might receive you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name we ask these things.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
Jesus. Oh, thank you. Hey, before we get started, Joel and Heidi, do you mind coming up for a minute? Is that okay? Now, for those of you who don't know, Joel and Heidi just got back from a missions trip and to Costa Rica. And so I guess you've got some pictures. I'm gonna sit on this really nice comfy chair.
George.
Okay, all right.
And where's the clicker? Or George can push the button.
You're in charge, George. You can do it.
I'm working on it.
Hey, while we are just waiting for just a minute, don't let me to forget, but I wanted to encourage you guys. Billy Rotunda from Loving Hands, who is here, he's going to be starting the new work down in Miami, opening the Loving Hands down there and working with the that ministry and breaking free addicts and things like that. I just want to encourage you. He had a special message that he wanted to share with this church. For those of you who don't know, you guys give your tithes and offerings. We give so much of it all back to God's work. And so what we did is we supported Loving Hands locally here, but also the new work and him and his family going down there to Miami. And then we also supplied him with all the Bibles he needed, a couple of cases, like 50 Bibles, to start the work down there. So just wanted to encourage you. You guys are providing for them going down there and for the Word of God going out to all the folks they're going to be ministering to in Miami. And so he was just so excited. Oh, thank you so much. What he asked me to do is to share with you guys how thankful he was and also just that the money and that what we gave him was at just the right time. He said the timing could have not been more amazing, that you guys and your church, he said, please tell your church, your body, that what they gave to me is helping me and our family go down to Miami, and it came at just the right time. God provided it at just the right time, and all the Bibles that you're providing is coming just at the right time. And he was so overjoyed, and he was so encouraged, and he was so blessed, and he knew it was from the Lord, and he asked me to personally communicate that to you. And so that's what I'm doing now. So be encouraged that God's word is going forth from this place because of you. And know that you are encouraging the saints. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Isn't it? Praise the Lord. Okay, Joel, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. We went to Costa Rica here a while back and to do some work and witness with a Nazarene church group from Ohio. And we flew into Costa Rica to San Jose. Costa Rica is about the size of West Virginia, so it's not a real big country. And this is, the pictures are not in order. My kids and grandkids are all gone, so I didn't know how to do it, so this is the best I could do.
It's all right. Good job, Joel.
See, this is a widow maker. A widow maker. A widow maker. Or a suicide shower. See the wires in the shower head? You turn on the water, and there are coils, heater coils, in the shower head that heats the water up and gives you a hot shower or a warm shower. If you turn the water on too fast, it's cold water. You got to let the water come out real slow. Next, George. This is some of the work that we did. We put in a ceiling grid for a false type ceiling upstairs. And, okay, George, this is some tile that we laid. The tile there are 2 by 2, 2 feet by 2 feet.
Oh, awesome.
And
is that for the church building?
This is upstairs in this building where they train pastors. And this is a friend that Heidi made down there, a Costa Rican gal. Her name is Sole, and she's got a testimony and a half of what the Lord did for her and her husband and her family. She's very poor. She lives in the corner of another person's house, 2 bedrooms, a living room, dining room, kitchen, and a bathroom. This is what the building looks like where we worked. The upstairs is what we did the most work in. And they when it's done, they will train pastors there in this area. That's another part of, that's the other end of the building. This is some stairs here that we painted, the hand railing. And those tiles that you saw, we had to carry the boxes up these stairs. There are 3 tiles to a box, and they probably weigh 70 pounds apiece, boxes. There's Heidi. She's sweeping up, cleaning up in a little room there. And so she's got her dust mask on because she shouldn't breathe the dust. And there I'm chipping out the wall so we can put in some conduit for electrical outlets up in the kitchen upstairs. That's before we got to the... And this is what our witness, working witness. We go out to a village, and we hear a sermon preached by a pastor. And then if anybody has any prayer requests of the villagers, we lay hands on them and pray for them and witness to them. This is what it looks like there. You can see people painting over here. And that's where we stayed. And that's a dorm. It's also, they rent them out for cabins whenever there's nobody there. And this is some scenery on the way up. On the way up to the work site. About 2.5 hours. Now, you know, folks, Heidi is a very cold person. Her body is cold. And you would think you would not get in this mountain river. Well, this mountain river is 100 degrees. It comes out of a volcano, hot springs volcano. And it is warm, a very warm bath. She loved it. She would have loved to stay there. But this is our dorm room, very cramped, but it was plenty. And this is Costa Rica. We were up there, see where it says the lowlands? Just to the left of there, in the southeast of there, in that area, is where we were. It was hot, 95 degrees.
Humid.
She loved it. And this is, okay, George, I guess that's it. That's the tile that I carried up. She carried one. So we appreciate your prayers. Thank you for supporting us. Okay. Oh, that's Heidi carrying some scaffolding. And she was going upstairs, up those stairs.
How many workers were there?
There were...
How
There were 18 in total.
And
they came from Ohio. Okay. There's a church, Nazarene Church, up there. They get together and they have to raise $10,000. They have paid for their own airfare. The $10,000 pays for their lodging, their food, transportation back and forth to the airport and around to other places like to do a coffee plantation tour or, you know, sightseeing. And whatever's left goes to the church. And the supplies. It pays for the tile. It pays for everything up there. And if there's anything left over, it goes to the church. Now, they need other teams to go up there to finish that place. It'll probably take 3 or 4 more teams a week at least to finish it.
That's awesome. Well, you know, can you take 1 minute? Can we pray for that place that's going to be training the pastors?
Mm-hmm.
And also for Billy in Miami? Would you take 1 minute? And sure. Would you just lead us in prayer? And we'll just pray for them right now.
Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For the opportunity to share in your work.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for leading us down there. And we pray for that place, Lord. Mwaye. That you would bless them with more teams,
yes.
Work teams to come down and finish that project so that they could train pastors in the country of Costa Rica and in that area. We just pray, Lord, that for the pastor there in the little church, that you would bless his life and that you would give him the power of the Holy Spirit,
yes,
to spread the gospel and
yes.
give him strength,
yes.
your strength, Lord. He can't do it all by himself. There's so much work to do.
Amen.
So many people to lead to Christ, to witness
yes.
to minister to. We just pray for them, Lord, that you would raise up people to go.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we pray for Billy. And down in Miami, and Lord, for that new work. And we pray, Lord,
yes.
that your Holy Spirit would fill him
yes.
and that he would, the Holy Spirit would guide him
yes.
and keep him encouraged.
Yes.
Pray that he would not get discouraged.
Yes.
And we pray that you would protect him
yes.
by your blood.
Yes.
And pray that you would just put a hedge of protection around him from the devil, from Satan and his angels, and not allow them to try and destroy that work that you've called him to do. And thank you, Lord, that he's encouraged by all the Bibles and the funds and everything else, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Great job. Well, welcome, everybody. Very glad that you are here. For those of you who are fighting that sick flu, man, oh, man, oh, man, let me tell you. Oh, thanks, Nehemiah. I just pray for all the folks that are sick with the flu or struggling with that to get better. That is, I don't know what strain I had. I think we got a couple of strains was in our house for the last couple of weeks. So that was not fun, but we made it and we're here. So thank you, Lord. So all the other folks in our body, if you see them, if you notice them gone, just be praying for them. We had so many nice folks bringing us, Robbie and Jonathan brought us some food. Even this morning, Debbie and Mark brought us some stew, and folks have been really, really wonderful. So if you see somebody out, give them a call, give them some encouragement. You guys know we are not super fancy people, but I know we're not about pushing church, denomination, but we are all about Jesus. And so we've got a few more shirts here, if anyone is interested. I've got a couple more Team Jesus shirts, and this is what it looks like. So let's see, I've got a size small here, if anyone would like a small. Okay, small. Okay, you're welcome. Let's see, what else I have? I have a double extra large. If anybody, okay. Yeah, oh, thanks, Chris. And then I've got a 3X for some of the large muscular men like myself. Anybody? Okay, we'll put that one aside for a future date. Okay, and I'll put this for an illustration a little bit later on today. Okay, well, we've got a couple announcements to go over, and then we're going to go back into the book of James, and James chapter 1. And so if we can go over a couple things. Now, we got so many loaves of bread here. When I say bags of fresh Panera bread and loaves of bread, I mean there's like 6-8 bags full of bread. So I'm asking you, please, at the end of this service, take as much as you want. It's free in Jesus' name. Give it to your friends, your neighbors, your families. We don't want to be left with any of that bread. Give it all away. But when you give it, if you're giving it to somebody, if you're taking it for yourself, fantastic, wonderful, take as much as you would like. But if you're going to give it away, all we ask is that you give it in Jesus' name. That's all we ask. Hey, just receive it in Jesus' name when you give it to your friends and you give it to your neighbors. Okay, feel free to take that. The tithes and offerings we don't take up, but we'll receive in the back in a little bird box back there. And so you can put your tithes and offerings back there. I'm going to skip that for this week because I've been sick and I didn't get a chance to do it. And okay, we already talked about Billy. Child Evangelism Fellowship, they are having their fundraiser this week. I think it's on Tuesday. If there is anyone else, I know we're going there, our family's going there, I know there's a couple others in the church. If anyone else would like to attend, I've got an invitation here. It's for free dinner, and it's a fundraising event, so they're going to have testimonies and things like that. A lot of our teens have been involved with that for years. If there's anyone else who would like to go, come see me, and we will give you free dinner for you and your family. And I think it's Tuesday, actually, now that I think of it. And it is at the Tabernacle, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll give you directions and information. And but if anybody is interested in that, we support Child Evangelism Fellowship. We want to just encourage you, if there's anyone else here who hasn't been baptized, since it's getting a little bit warmer here in Florida, we're kind of wimpy. And so now it's getting a little bit warmer, and someone has also said that they want to get baptized, and so they just want to share. They're excited about the Lord, excited about what God's doing, and so we're just going to talk with them and see if they want to go. We might go all down to the beach, or we might just go over to our pool, baptize them there. We're going to leave it up to them, but if anyone else wants to get baptized, okay, I see, okay, one, two, and then there was a third, okay, two more, so three want to get baptized. Okay. Okay. Fantastic. Okay. And now, I'm sorry. Okay. Kim does, wants to get baptized. Wonderful. Okay. So we got at least four people that want to get baptized. That's amazing. Look at that. Out of this church. Isn't that fantastic? Now, I want to make sure that everybody understands being baptized does not save you. Being baptized is a representation. It's an outward expression of an inward change that God is doing supernaturally in your heart. Does everybody understand that? God is the one, the Holy Spirit, supernaturally, He is the one. Jesus is the one that saves you, right? He is the one, the only one who can save you, the Bible says. And when we go to the beach or we go to the pool, we are making that public profession of faith. We're letting everybody here know that, you know what? We don't want to live the way we lived anymore in disobedience to God and in our own selfish way. We want to start living for Jesus. And we want to do that publicly, and we're not ashamed of it. Does that make sense? And we're going to baptize you. And what we do, just so you know, if we go out to the beach, we'll have a little cookout, whether it's the beach or at our pool. And we'll give folks, what we do is we all pray over these people. We allow you to come up. If God gives you, the Holy Spirit gives you a word of prophecy over them or a word of knowledge or some sort of word that God has put on your heart or a word of encouragement for them, you can speak that. If you want to pray over those people, you can do that as well. We want to be very open, and we just ask that you'd come with that heart. So if there's anyone else who wants to be baptized, and you've made that commitment to Christ, Jesus says that's the next thing you do, is you go and get baptized. And we'd love to have you, and we'd love to talk to you more about it. All right? Also, we have a picnic that's coming up, April 14th. Gary, when is that? Is that like 2 weeks? Holy moly. All right. So we're going to have a picnic here, and what we do is we have kind of a service outside. And so on that day, bring a lawn chair, bring your lawn chairs, bring a little cloth, not a cloth to sit on. What do you... Blanket, yes, you could bring a washcloth, but it really wouldn't do any good. Bring some blankets for you to sit on. What we're going to do, we're going to make the meats, and we're going to have some yummy meats, and we're going to smoke, and it's going to be a great, great time. We just ask that you would bring a dessert or a side to share with everybody, and it's going to be a wonderful time, and folks are going to come up and share some testimonies outside. It's a great time. We'll have bounce houses, and we'll have we'll have bounce houses for the kids, and maybe some obstacle courses, just stuff, fun stuff for the kids. And it's just a day of just glorifying the Lord and just hanging out and just being together and thanking the Lord. And so we'll be doing that on the 14th, so you don't want to miss that. Also, I want to say our worship team here, I think, has pretty much taken over everything. So if there's anyone else who wants to volunteer, it's wonderful. Please talk to Nate Weaver. Nate Weaver right in the back. And if anybody else wants to volunteer, there he is. Oh, that was really right on time. You like slid right in there. We want to encourage you to join the worship team. He's putting it together, and he's starting to, you guys are starting to click and starting to get in sync. It's really kind of cool. And if there's anyone else who would like to do that, please feel free. They're very welcoming. We're going to have to cut the stage, though, I think, to give you guys more room. Or we could do a second level. Joel can be in charge of the tile on that second level. Couple things. Okay, so prayer Sunday mornings at 9 here at Home Fellowship Church. If you would like to join us, we would absolutely love to have you. Bible studies, Tuesday, second Tuesday of each month. I don't even know the date. Second Tuesday of each month, women's Bible study from 6:30 to 8 here at Home Fellowship Church. And then also this Saturday, yes? Okay, this Saturday, Erica, I don't know if you have the microphone. Okay, today is the last day. If you guys want to do this, Priscilla Shire, that's Tony Evans' daughter, is going to be doing an all-day conference. If you would like to do that, we're going to set up a simulcast either here or at the home, depending on how many people want to come. If you do want to go, the Christians have a hard time doing this. They never let folks know till the last minute. So if you want to go to that, Erica, raise your paw. Right there. Talk to her. We would love to have you. It's lunch. I think it's $20. If you absolutely would love to go, but you can't afford the $20, the church will pay for you. Okay? We just want you to get encouraged and inspired in the Lord. And if you're not going to that, Betty in the back, Betty somewhere. Betty will need help on that Saturday with yard sale, I think selling the house, clearing some stuff out. Is that correct? Yep. And so if you can help Betty and Daryl on that day, if you're not going to this, they would love to have your help. And so please, need all the help that they can get for moving stuff around. They got a lot of stuff. Also, men's Bible study on Tuesdays, first and third Tuesdays. Is that this one?
Yeah, this Tuesday, we're going to... Going to feed our stomachs on some sausage and peppers a la Mark.
Okay, good.
And then we're going to feed our spirit in Ephesians, and we'll be talking about how Christian men can survive and thrive in a dark and nasty world that we live in.
It is getting darker. All right, sounds good. Wednesday, also the Whosoever's Youth Group from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And just so you guys know, somebody's asking, hey, why don't we get some T-shirts? So this is going to be... actually, one of our folks in the church made this design T-shirt for us, for our youth group. Isn't it cool? On the front, it says, I'm a whosoever. And on the back, we have the gospel. And so, isn't that awesome? So, the youth group, they're getting this awesome, incredible T-shirt for free. Well, not for free. You guys are all paying for it. We're paying for it as a gift in Jesus' name to them. Okay, and so we're getting this. And then what we're going to do is we're going to sell the T-shirts if anybody else, any of the adults want to buy them as a fundraiser for the youth group. I think that's what Amanda Panda had decided. Yes. To be determined. All right. Okay, and also Experiencing God, 6:30 to 8:30 here at Home Fellowship Church. I think we're finishing it up. And again, if you are interested in taking another course, see Gary or myself, and we'll probably talk more about that. We're coming to the end. We've only got a couple left. So very exciting, very incredible stuff that God's doing. Okay, so I forgot something. Got two hands. Two paws are up. All right, both ends of the...
Do you want me to read
Oh, yes. Well, since I don't have them in my hand, I'll wait on that. Thank you, George. You did a great job.
With the picnic coming up, we have a lock on the grill, and there was a key on a lanyard in the closet, and it disappeared. And that. So if you happen to have any idea where that key disappeared to, please surface it now, because otherwise we're going to have to cut the lock off, and that's a pain.
Yes. All right. Sounds good. Okay, so open your Bibles to the book of James. The book of James, the machine gun of the New Testament. Love it. Hard hitting. Every other verse, a command imperative. We are in James chapter 1, my friends. Hey, if you need a Bible, raise your hand, and helpful Hezekiah will deliver one right to you. Kind-hearted Chris, helpful Hezekiah, Jolton Joe, one of our guys, one of our amazing men of God, will deliver one right to you. All right. We are in the book of James, and we left off around, I think we'll be starting here in verse 16 in James chapter 1. We left off, we were talking about, what were we talking about? Oh yeah, we were talking about trials and temptations, and the verse right before that basically reads, that the verses right before that say just, hey, God is not tempting us. You know, God is never, that's not God's heart. He's not tempting us. He's not out to get you. You know, everybody, you know, if we're weak or we're immature or we're in the flesh, when things are going well, we're like, oh, praise the Lord. When things are going bad, God hates me. He's out to get me. He doesn't like me. That's just a lie completely from the enemy. That's just from the pit. And we talked about those temptations, they come from within, from either Satan or from our own fleshly desires. You know, we talked about the four stages of temptation. Number one is desire. When we start thinking about those things, our fleshly nature that thinks about and lusts after the things of that world, that's where the temptations come from. God's not out to harm you. He's not out to trip you up. He's not out to get you. That's not his heart. Okay? God says in Romans 13, 14 that he wants to clothe yourself with the presence of Jesus Christ, with who he is. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Listen, we've got a terrible flesh nature, don't we? And a sin nature. Listen, apart from Jesus Christ, you're a selfish, jerky person. Do you know how I know that? Because I'm a selfish, jerky person without the Lord Jesus Christ. I am. We're all the same. And so the first place when we're talking about temptations, we can't stop them from coming into our mind, but we can take them captive right there and stop it. So the first is the desire. The second is the deception. And that's when we see that bait that we talked about a few weeks ago, right, that Satan gives to us, that trap that he does at hunting and fishing terms we talked about in the Greek. And when we take that bait, and that's where the deception happens, you know, doubting God's goodness or whatever. We can deceive ourselves. And the Bible says, look, don't do that. Don't deceive yourselves. You know, 1 Corinthians 3:18, remember what God's word says. You know, Adam and Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, and so can you. And then the third stage of temptation then is disobedience. That's when we stop nibbling on the bait, we just chomp on it, and we choose to disobey God's word. And God says that, you know, just by one man's disobedience, Adam, the many were made sinners, so one man's obedience, many were made righteous in Christ. And so our sin, when we think our sin is just affecting us, can I just tell you, that's a lie. Your anger, your mouth, your disobedience to God, your attitude, your rejection of him, your whatever it is, your lust, whatever, that has a ripple effect. Never think that it's just affecting you, because that's a lie from the enemy. But the opposite is true. As you go to seek the Lord, as you're seeking him in Bible studies, if you're seeking to honor him at work, with your mouth, with your attitude, with your friends, if you're looking to honor him, that spills over to other people as well. And then here's the fourth stage of temptation. After desire, deception, disobedience, it's death. Listen, the result of sin is a dead spiritual walk. Listen, every time, 100%. You can't just play with the sin. You can't just have it as a little cute pet. And we left off with that story of little DJ. You know the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we left with the story in Colorado with little DJ, right? Got their little pet, Sally the snake, right? It was just 12 inches long, and they had it for 8 years. Such a wonderful pet. And eventually, it killed the 15-year-old boy in the family. And the family just couldn't understand it. Although that little pet had grown to 100 pounds. And it strangled him and choked the life out of him. The whole family said they could not believe it. They never saw it coming. That's the way sin is in our life. When we play with it, when it grows. We feed our pets. We take care of our pets. That's what happens. Sin will always do that to you. You got to get it out of your life. That's why the Bible says, cut it off and throw it away. Not just cut it off. Don't just poke at it. Cut it off and throw it away, far away from you. Right? All right? Because it'll kill you. So don't say God's tempting you. He's out to get you. God is good. He's a giver of good gifts. He may discipline you, right? What parent doesn't discipline their kids? If you don't discipline your kids, can I tell you something? You're not a very good parent because they're going to grow up to be little brats. And God disciplines us like that because he loves us. God may refine us, right? But he's not going to hurt us. He's not out to get us. And so most of the time, people's own foolishness ruin their lives. But in their minds, they blame the Lord. And then we go on, if you can hit the lights just for 1 second there, Chris, just so I can read this. Somehow somebody's making the words smaller in my Bible. I don't know how they're doing that.
There's a larger print on the couch.
That would be for more mature eyes. And so I'm being as young as I am, I don't need that yet, Andy. Thank you. So here's what it says, guys. Contrary to the saying that God's doing this, God's out to get you, God doesn't like you, God hates you, God's cursing you, God's tempting you, God doesn't do that. That is totally not his heart. This is what the Bible says in James chapter 1, 16, and I'll read it to you. He says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So here you go. The first verse 16 says, don't be deceived. Listen, when you're hearing that stuff in your head, that God doesn't like you, you're the one that he doesn't care for, that's why all this bad stuff is happening in your life, because he doesn't like you. He likes Josh. Doesn't care for Natalie so much. He really likes Olivia, but he doesn't care for Pastor Darren. Can I tell you something? That is from the pit. Do not listen to that. Reject it in Jesus' name. The Bible says what, and you're going to get those thoughts, because you know what? We are insecure people. So either it's coming from inside, right? Or you're going to hear that whispered from the enemy. Oh, you're the one that he doesn't love. Lie. The Bible says you take that thought captive. And you make it obedient to Christ in Jesus' name. Have you ever taken anything, an animal captive? Okay, but we have dogs. And some of those dogs, when they don't listen to us, when they're training them, we're having to wrestle this. Get it, go, 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 go. It's not easy. You have to wrestle that little thought captive. No. You have to wrestle it. And you have to reject it. You have to go what God says about you. He says you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and that he loves you. He loves you so much he died for you. In fact, he says he lives. Jesus lives to intercede for you. That means when you're struggling with stuff, he's praying for you. He's there for you. He's there to supply all your needs, a way out when you're tempted. That's who your God is. So don't doubt that goodness. Remember all the way back in Adam and Eve's time? Hey, did God really say you couldn't have that fruit? Well, God, you know why God said that? God was, because he knew you'd be like him. You'd gain all that knowledge. See, God's holding out on you, right? See, he's putting that little doubt in your head. Don't believe it. Don't be deceived. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above. We have so much to be thankful for, right? When we focus on the negative, and I'm one of those people, you know, I could have 20 people tell me great things, you know, and then I hear the one bad thing, I'm a loser. See? Honey's like, honey, did you not listen to the other 20 people that just said this? I know, but we can focus on the negative, right? But every good and perfect, you're not even thinking that your heart is beating right now. Maybe we should be thankful for that. I'm a foodie, except for the last couple weeks. I'm thankful for my taste buds. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my kids. Oh, but that's your wife. That's that wife, not my wife. Oh, that's your kids, not my kid. Don't even. Man, thankful. My kids got issues. My wife has issues. I have issues. But we work through them in Jesus' name. You should be thankful. You know what, Pastor Darren? You don't know my job. You have a job. Praise the Lord. I know people who are desperate. They're going to be living in their car. I know folks that might be kicked out. They don't even have a car to go to. You have a job. You have somebody who cares about you. You have a church right here that actually loves you. We actually care about you. We're not just here saying that. We're not some rich, big church trying to milk it, thinking you're all rich. If you're somebody's a millionaire here, can I just say thank you? That tithe box, fantastic. But most of us aren't, right? We just love and give because we love the Lord and we love you and we want you to grow. We want you to be encouraged. We want you to know him, love him, be filled with the Holy Spirit, to know his word so that you could be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. How about that? Do you know what I'm saying? You got free bread right here. You know, if you need prayer or a place to vent, you can just grab Gary, especially if you have a place to vent right there. Go to him right after service. Vent away. We have so many things that we do, but every good and perfect gift he has brought you to. Now listen, there's lots of good churches, so this is not about, Home Fellowship Church. There's lots of wonderful churches, okay? But can I tell you something? In churchdom, and for a person who's been a Christian for many years and a pastor and a ministry at different churches for many years, you are in a good church. You're not in the perfect church. You're in a good church, though. This is safe. It's loving. The word is being preached here. Stuff is getting more watered down and more weird and more wacky. I can't even keep up with it. It's overwhelming to me. More fake, more you name it. Be thankful. We got a nice... Anyway, okay, you get the idea, right? Be thankful for what you have. Jim, be thankful for your wife. Do you see what I'm saying? Just have that every good and perfect. Those are all coming down from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. Just take a minute. You know what? I don't ever, just close your eyes right now. Everybody close your eyes. No, I'm not going to do anything to you. Just close your, and just, would you just in your heart think of something, just one thing, and thank him for it right now. Just in your heart. Just sincerely say thank you. Even if it's a hard time right now, maybe it's a struggle even. Well, you know what? God's going to use it to mature you and grow you so that you can help someone else down the line. He'll even use that. Thank him right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank him for it. Thank you, Jesus. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Now, what does that mean, the Father of heavenly lights? Well, you know, that word also could mean like the creator of heavenly lights or whatever. And so, you know, when we think of these good and perfect gifts and we think of our Father, the creator, we have a wonderful Father God. And I can get mad at my kids sometimes, and they can really annoy me. I can annoy them too. Okay, I'm just saying. But if my kid, one of my kids, Nehemiah, he was the last one to be sick. He didn't eat for many days with what he had. And so finally, Lisa was out of the house, and I was with him, and he said, "Dad, you know, it was peanut butter and jelly sandwich." So we got peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I watched him eat the sandwich. I made this peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We don't have peanut butter usually in that because of Lisa, but he ate this. You should just see his face. He's like, I mean, he's really making these faces. He's like, "So good." I said, "It's good, honey." "Yes. It's just usually I like a little bit more jelly." "Okay, you know what? More jelly. I will give you a little bit more." Now, when he asked me for that sandwich, you're really hungry, son? Here's a rattlesnake. Have some arsenic, kid. Chew on some gravel. I wouldn't do that. Even though I've got a terrible sin nature and I'm very selfish and apart from the Lord, I wouldn't do that. Even though I'm kind of evil sometimes in my heart and my flesh without the Lord, the Bible says in Matthew 7:9, Jesus says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Isn't that amazing? How much more? Your Father is good. We forget about goodness, right? But the Bible says goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness, we forget about this. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? It says that in the Bible, Jesus went around doing good. And his Father's followers will develop that too. It's a fruit of God's Holy Spirit. He gives good gifts, right? And even that hardship or that hard time is a good gift for you. It's going to make you stronger in the long run. It's going to allow you to help other people down the road and maybe rescue them from the sin of death, right? That's your God. He loves you in that way. And don't forget, he's that good giver of gifts. And it says he's the Father of all heavenly lights. And you guys know what it says in Genesis, that he created the stars and the sun, the moon, and the stars. He created everything. All the lights we see, all those heavenly lights, he was the creator of all those things. It says in Psalm 136:7, "To him who made the great lights, for his loving kindness endures forever." He's the father of them. He's the creator of all those lights. "Yours is the day, yours also is the night. You have established the heavenly lights and the sun." Psalm 74:16. He knows every star by name. He knows every hair on your head. He is the creator of all those things. Isaiah 46, "Lift your eyes and look up to the heavens." Who created these? "He who brings out the starry hosts. One by one he calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." That's our God. But also in a spiritual sense, he's the father of light. Do you know what I'm saying? Everything good, everything beautiful, everything pure, everything truthful comes from him. He's the father of that. Satan is the father of everything that's darkness and done in shadows and hidden. That's who he is. Jesus is the opposite. Jesus said in John 12:46 in the New Living Translation, Jesus says, "I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me," and who's the me? Well, let's do that again. "So that all who put their trust in me," and who's me?
Jesus,
don't you forget, no church saved you, no pastor saved you, no Christian group saved you, no ministry saved you, Jesus saves. His name alone, Acts 4:12, is the only name by which you could be saved. Amen? So it says, "All who trust in me will no longer remain in the dark." That's what Jesus does. Okay, there was a song, this is just coming to me. Okay, I don't even remember who sings it. Boone. You know what song? "You light up my life, you give me hope." Remember that one? to carry on. You light up my day. Okay, you remember. In a funny sense, that was that. But in a real sense, that's what Jesus does. He lights your whole life. You will see from the inside out. He will help you to see things differently. You will look at people differently, your work differently, your situations, your finances, your family, everything from the inside out. He will shine light in those dark areas of your life that you know about, you don't want anybody else to know about. Because he wants it clean and fresh and new. He wants to do some remodeling, some renovation. It says, Jesus said in John 8:12, he said, I am, ego of me in the Greek, I am the light of the world. That's Jesus. He said, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, when you get saved, something supernatural happens. Amen. When you get saved, Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And that light beams in you now. It's a supernatural thing that happens. It's an amazing thing that happens. But that's our Jesus. He's the light of the world. And he wants you to be a light to others too. The Bible says in Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. If you're saved now, he wants you to be a light. He doesn't just want you to kick up your feet and watch Netflix. Yes, I do that. Okay, I'm just saying, so I'm not condemning anybody. He wants you to be a light, that when other people see you and your attitude, they see Jesus. When they see your giving, they see Jesus. When they see your servanthood, they see Jesus. When they see how you do your work, they see Jesus. When they see what you don't do, Josh, I don't take bribes. I'm not trying to undercut people. They see Jesus. When they see how compassionate, kind, loving you are, they see Jesus, and that shines. When they see how you handle this situation, I'm not going to grumble and complain at work like everybody else does. No, I'm going to offer that up to the Lord. Lord, help me to be a blessing here. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to backstab. I'm not going to be talking about all the stuff the world talks about. I'm not going to get into that. It says, you are light of this world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but instead they put it on a stand and it gives light to all those who enter the house. So Jesus says, I want you, let your light shine. Let it shine before men, that they may see your good works and say what an awesome person you are. No, it doesn't say that. It says, may they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Why are you so generous? Why are you so kind? When we were out in Orlando before the vomiting happened, for those 2 days, we had a great time. And I can tell you, we went out to eat, unfortunately, a lot before that happened. And everywhere we went, honestly, the waitresses and the people came up to us, you guys, I just want you to know, your family, they're so nice, and they're so kind, and they're saying thank you, and they're so polite, and they're like, what is it with you guys? Literally. And we just, you know, it's the Lord, it's Jesus. You know, thanks so much. Oh, thank you so much for saying that. It's Jesus. It's an opportunity to shine. He's like, families don't do that anymore. Their kids are like, whatever, I want this. Give me it now. They did all that back at the hotel with me. No. But the boy, no, I'm just kidding. But the point I'm trying to make here is that we're to let our life shine before men, right? So that people can see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Okay, and it says, here, Chris, can you hit the light just for a second for me? It says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, right? Who does not change like shifting shadows. This is a cool thing about the Lord. You don't have to worry about him having a bad day. Sometimes dad can have a bad day. I feel sick. I feel tired. I'm grumpy. I got an attitude. I just feel selfish and I'm not getting my way in some way, right? Sometimes you can be that way too. And there goes your game time for today, son. Anywho, Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord and I do not change. you don't have to worry about him taking a day off. Okay, 360 days a year I've been good to you. These last five, boo-hoo! Now I'm mad, and I'm letting it fly. You don't have to worry about, I'm moody today. I'm just emotional. You don't have to worry about that. He doesn't change. There's no shadow of changing. I hope I have this. Oh, let's see. Oh, yeah. Oh, where is that? Hebrews. It's in Hebrews 11. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're living in a weird time. Everything is changing. Really, everything is changing. People, norms that I thought would be unchangeable, crazy, 5 years, they're changing. And people are accepting it as normal. Jesus, his word, right here, it's going to be the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. That's why you get this in you, in your mind, in your heart, so that you won't sin against them. So the world can't push you or pull you or your friends can't tug you in a way that goes contrary to this because you've hidden it in your heart. You've made it a part of who you are. Does that make sense, guys? You will be immovable and shakable because of Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. This is a really cool gif that I put in here that you can see does not work. And what that is it shows the earth, okay, and it's rotating on its axis, and it was revolving around the sun, okay? It was really cool, but just imagine it. So just play it in your mind for me, if you would. Okay, it says the Lord does not change like shifting shadows. So think about this. As the earth, right, rotates, right? It's rotating around the sun, right? And it was dark a few hours ago, right? All night long it was dark. Well, it wasn't dark because the sun stopped shining, right? It was dark because we were in the shadow. The earth's rotating, right? And so if you stand outside and you're there all day, you'll get burnt. But you'll see that the sun shifts and the shadows shift along with it, right? But the sun remains the same. Okay, now, just for the record, nobody come to me later and say, well, the sun actually doesn't go up. I realize our whole solar system, just a little fun fact for you, is moving at 500,000 miles an hour, our whole solar system, around the Milky Way galaxy. Don't come and tell me that. For the point of this illustration, the sun is shining. It's constant. It's the world that's turning continually. You get it? In that same way, Jesus is constant in your life. His word is constant in his life. His character, his attributes, all those things will not change. You don't have to worry. Well, I wonder if God maybe doesn't think male is male today and female. I feel like a bobcat today. Oh, okay, great. No, you know what he says. It's clear. It's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. We can trust him. We can trust his word. And we can hold on to that no matter what. He doesn't change on you. Listen, maybe you've been hurt a lot. I have. People are knuckleheads. You don't have to worry about that. Oh, hey, I'm your best buddy. Oh, I'm not tomorrow. That's not your God. He loves you. He cares about you, Jay, every bit of you. You're welcome. And he doesn't change and he won't abandon you. That's who our God is. And you can have full confidence in. That's why if you have time, invest it in his word. You don't have to worry about that changing. Science, geography, all this. No, it's different tomorrow. It says that in verse 18, that he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all that he created. He chose to give us birth, or a different translation, I think it's the King James, says he chose to give us birth, or another translation says, of his will, he gave us birth through the word of truth. And I really like that. If you'd hit the lights for just a second, Chris. Because it says, or that King James first, it was God's will to give us this new life. And the Bible says this in 2 Peter 3:9. And this is the Living Bible translation. I just really liked it. He isn't really slow about his promised return, even though It sometimes seems that way. But he's waiting for the good reason that he's not willing that any should perish. And he's giving more time for sinners like you and me to repent. That's our God. He's given us new birth. The Bible, listen, this is not, you can't read the Bible like a textbook and then all of a sudden be a Christian. Just because you grow to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. That was my Tennessee voice right there. I don't know why it's coming up. But you can be in the Bible Belt and live there for a long time. That doesn't mean you're a Christian. The Bible says you must be born again. John 1:3, that's a new birth, spiritual birth from the inside out. Lord, I want to be born again. I want to be saved. All those of you who want to get baptized, we're going to meet together. We're going to make sure that you've given your life over to Jesus Christ, that you are saved. Because if you are, then God's going to set you on a whole new exciting path for your life. New desires, new wants, new... It's exciting. It's awesome. A whole change takes place. But it says all those who believe this are reborn. Not a physical rebirth resulting from human passion or a plan, but from the will of God. It's God's will. He gave you this new birth from the Word of God. That's why the Word's so awesome. And you can trust it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, and I love it. It says, this is the Apostle Paul. He was saying, and we also thank God continually, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as human words, but as it actually is, as the King James says, in truth, the Word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Man, it's that word of truth that gives life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. That's why we want you in that word. That's want you to hear it. We want you to suck it in and to just breathe it in and to chow it down on it. But when you receive it, it actually is the word of God. God is so awesome. It says, in him you also trusted after you heard that word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you also believed. And you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Just like they put that seal on that raspberry jam, it keeps it fresh for, ever. In that same way, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit when you get saved. When you trust in that word of truth. Sealed to the day of redemption. I don't know where the microphone is, but can we bring a microphone to Marcus Manliesis? Thanks. And if those of you guys don't know, we do allow microphones. If you have something to say or share, you can raise your hand.
Also, that seal of the Holy Spirit is eternal.
Yes.
It does not go away. It stays with us forever.
Amen. That word of truth, he chose to do that. It was his will that you be saved. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent. And now that you are saved, if those of you who are here who got saved, 2 Timothy 2:15 says to you, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Man, if you just come here on Sunday, folks, that is not enough. We'll give you a Bible if you don't have one. We'll give you a devotional if you don't have one. We'll give it to you on audio. We'll give it to you all for free. We'll give you Bible teachings. We'll send you links for your phone. Whatever you want that you can get this word in at your home. We'll give you Christian books for free. Whatever. Whatever. We just want you to grow in the word. Get to every Bible study we can. If there's a Saturday thing, I know people are so busy. Get to that Saturday thing at Erica's house. Get to the Tuesday thing with Gary, the men's group. Get to the women's group. Get to the Experiencing God. Anytime we have a Bible study, the doors are open. Get here. And the enemy will do everything to stop you, but get here. So he chose to give you that birth. And it says that through the word of truth, that we may be called the first fruits of all he created. When James was writing this, The early Jewish Christian believers would have known, would have been mostly Jewish, right? Because that's who got saved first. And the word first fruits would have been meaningful to them. Those Old Testament Jews brought their sacrifice of first fruits to the Lord, an expression of their trust and devotion and obedience to the Lord. So they would have understood that God's saying, I gave you this new life, right? So you could be a kind of first fruits. And so they would have known they would have brought their minds back to Exodus 34:26 that says, as you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first fruits to the house of the Lord your God, Exodus 34:26. And they would understand that those early Christians, every time they got persecuted, every time the enemy tried to stamp them out, do you know what happened? They scattered to other places and the word of God spread more. Mm-hmm. See, that's a real heart for God. See, when the pressure is on, that's what's going to happen. And just like those first fruits for those early Christians, let me squeeze by this next slide if I can, if it works. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with all that you are, and with the first fruits of thine increase, of everything you produce. That's what tithe means, 10%. You put the money back in there, but it's so much more than the money. It's who you are. You're giving your best back to God. You give it to Him first. It shows that you trust Him. Just like when you guys give and you put your tithe back in there, I can't afford to give a tithe. Well, you know what? I'm going to trust in obedience when I give that tithe that He's going to provide for it. And you know what? He always does. If you tithe, you'll realize, wow, I really can trust Him. And you can do that with your life. When you give Him the substance of your life, listen, we're also to be the first fruits, he's saying. This is from 2 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, when he's talking, Paul said, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by God, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He chose to have you to be the first fruits. Now, maybe you're the first fruits in your family. Maybe God chose you to be a first fruit. Maybe in your family, you're the first one who's got saved. Wow. Well, you know what? Then you root those roots deep in the Word, and you grow, and you let the fruit of the Holy Spirit grow inside of you. And that fruit that people will see when they look at you has something really neat in it. If you open an apple or a pear, what does an apple have? If you open it up, what does it have on the inside?
Core,
yes, but yes, it does have a core. It does. But that's what I was looking for. It has seeds. And what do those seeds produce? Life. More fruit, right? See, that's what God wants. That you would produce 30, 60, or 100-fold. That's what He wants. He's chosen you. Listen to this, Connie. Sometimes if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, you can be like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I was saved. I was on fire, you know, years ago. But now, you know, whatever. It's been a long time, so whatever. He chose you. What? He chose you, Connie. So that you could be the first fruits and that you can give life to other people around you. Now, you can't make them eat the fruit. You can't make it listen. You can't make those seeds grow. That's all between God and them, right? But He chose you. Think about that. He chose you? Yes, He did. He chose you? He chose you. That's amazing to me. But that's who He works, and He wants you to be that first fruit. You can give life to other people at your work, at your school. He wants you to grow and know and in your family and your friends. And it's not a quick, would that apple tree grow up in 2 weeks? 2 months? I'm guessing it takes years before that bears fruit. So don't get discouraged. Know that He's doing it. He who started that good work is faithful to complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. He wants you to offer your body, listen, as a living sacrifice to Him, right? You're His first fruits. I'm giving that to the Lord, and then it reproduces more. Romans 12:1-2 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, right, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord. That means you offer your first fruits of your time. That means your finances. That means your gifts. Somebody was so awesome in this church. They're like, hey, I noticed that water fountain isn't working. You know what? Can I come by this week? And we work on refrigeration. We just do that. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, by the way, we look at air conditioners too. I'll look at that too. Thank you, Lord. Wow, thank you. What a blessing. He's got skills. He's offering. Somebody did our plumbing. If you notice, we've got a new garbage disposal back there, putting in there. Thank you, Lord. Somebody offered their time. Thank you. Praise the Lord for that. You see what I'm saying? Somebody picked up, you know, we got an extra chair here. We should have two. We only got one, but somebody went and picked up those chairs. Just did it. Thank you, Lord. Your time, everything. Our lives is to be a living sacrifice to Him. God, I want to do what I want to do with my time, with my finances, with my life, and me. And God's saying, wait, no, I'm to offer it as a sacrifice. What do you want me to do with it? Nate, maybe you could make $1 zillion being bass player for... I was trying to think of a cool group, but I'm not cool anymore, so I don't really know, but... And maybe God would call him to do that and be a witness there, but instead he's leading here in a church. Thank you, Lord. Hey, you know what? Hey, you want to worship? He's so gracious. Yeah, just come on up. We'll figure out. We'll fit you in. Wonderful. As long as you know the Lord and you're born again, we'll do it. What a wonderful heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, guys. That's what he wants us to be. And I think we're going to have to stop. The Lord's saying no. I'm just going to read the verse, though. I'm not going to teach it. And this is verse, I can't believe, I thought I was going to get through the chapter. Yeah, right. Lisa's like, honey, you're not going to do it. I said, honey, you don't understand. Because there's so much in here, and I don't know how long you'll be here. Mike, some of you might be here for many years. Some of you might be here just for a couple of months. I want to get as much of the word into you as possible. Because it will never change. It's eternal. Anyway, how about you read verse 19 and 20 yourself? That's your homework, okay? You can read it right now if you want. But verse 19... and 20, maybe even 21. It is. Can someone read it out loud? Okay, go ahead. Just read it out loud. Sure, why not? All right. Do you want to bring her the microphone real quick, sweetheart? And then we'll start next week. I'll teach that.
My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humble. Accept the word planted in you, which can save you.
Humbly accept the word that's planted in you. Amen. So that will be a fun teaching, so don't miss out. There is a lot packed into that. That's why I can't even do one more verse, because that's going to take a long time. So let's take a minute and let's pray and give thanks to the Lord that we'll see you at all these Bible studies. Listen, if anybody needs a Bible, if anybody needs a devotional, if anybody needs an audio or teachings, just come see me and we will provide that for you. You might have to text me because my poor brain forgets, but we will get that to you. So let's pray and let's give thanks to the Lord. Father, we just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for each person here, Lord, who's comes, Lord, for the person who's just coming for the first time, to the folks who have been here many years, Lord God. I say many years. We haven't been here too long, but for years that we've been here, Lord God. Strengthen them according to your word. Help them to know your word and to love your word, Lord, that it wouldn't be like shredded wheat to them. It would be like a banana split to them, Lord. It would just be so tasty and yummy and great and delicious, Lord, that they would look forward to spending time with you and realizing your word gives life, Lord. You said in John 17:17, Lord, as you were praying for your believers, sanctify them by your truth, Lord God. Your word is truth, Lord. And so I pray that you would sanctify this body, Lord God, of believers, by your truth, Lord. And your word is truth. Wash them, Lord, with the water of the word, Lord, personally, as they're reading, Lord, during Bible studies, on the radio, however they get it in them as much as possible, Lord God. And wash over them, refresh them, cleanse them, Lord, so that we might all live sacrifices. We may be the first fruits, Lord, living holy and pleasing lives to you, Lord God. A sacrifice to you so that many would come to know the Lord through us, Lord, and through our lives. We love you, Lord, and we bless you and we praise you. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen and amen. God bless you guys.